Welcome to the Department of Justice Agency in Focus, sponsored by Leidos.
The Justice Department has a broad portfolio of missions and a sprawling information technology infrastructure to support it. Tom Temin here, and welcome to the show. I spoke with Melinda Rogers, Justice's Deputy Chief Information Officer. In this first part of the interview, Rogers discusses her approach to the crucial challenge of IT and cybersecurity talent management.
I have been very active in the recruitment area, and I don't think I'm alone, especially in Metro DC. For what it's worth, my observation is the job market in this area is extremely tight. Dare I say, the unemployment rate is probably at zero or maybe even negative. I was just talking to the program manager of one of the contracting firms that support the Department of Justice the other day, and having to deal with staff turnover is a constant challenge we are dealing with. I think in terms of recruitment, what I've personally done is a couple of things. One is I actively pursue candidates in any forum I'm in, whether it's in a meeting with a vendor about a specific product or service, whether it's working on site with a contractor firm, whether it's going to a conference, whoever I cross paths with, one of the first things I look at is I look at this candidate to see if this is a potential fit at the Department of Justice. Do they have an interest in joining our organization? And is there a potential value add where I can offer this candidate an interesting opportunity to focus on the mission, and they can offer hopefully a talent that we don't currently have. So it's a constant, nonstop venture for me.
And do you find that the need for talent and the talent shortage and the competition extends beyond just the cybersecurity realm, which is part of your portfolio, but to the general technology activity?
No doubt. It's holistic. Cybersecurity is one element of IT management. In order to be an effective cybersecurity professional, ideally you know the nuts and bolts of how an IT infrastructure needs to come together, what the architecture design should look like, so that you can then provide the value-added perspective of how do you then protect that information. So it's the full spectrum. So when I talked about the challenges of recruiting just now, what I really had in mind is the full spectrum. And if you think about it, it's not just the IT professionals to ensure the service delivery and availability coupled with the cybersecurity protection element, but we also need effective professionals to help us with the contracting and procurement element. These individuals are not just there to write a contract, but they have to understand what types of software services are we buying as a federal government, what types of hardware or cloud services are we purchasing. We also need money managers to help us effectively manage the IT budget, because invariably with IT, it's very easy to be attracted by the next shiny new toy. And before you know it, we have a ballooning IT budget, which we don't want to have. So how do you have an effective money manager in place to pair them with the IT professional for overall IT organization and data management, for cybersecurity management, and for contracts management? So really, it's all those elements coming together.
Sure. So in the hiring realm, you have to think about the Federal Information Technology Acquisition Reform Act, or FITARA, considerations, which bring IT and finance together.
Yes, absolutely. That's critical. And we work very closely with our procurement counterparts. And it's a hand-to-hand combat day in and day out, where we're constantly looking at new contracts to put in place, or expiring contracts that we might want to repurpose, or look at how do we restructure differently. And especially as more agencies, including the Department of Justice, look at leveraging cloud services, it is shifting the types of personnel we need on staff. We no longer are as focused on managing hardware on site, right? So we need to recruit for different people. The people we will be recruiting for are going to be more focused on, or we need them to be more focused on, the business element, understanding the business structure.
Yeah, especially in this cloud era, that's as much a business framework challenge as it is a technology challenge.
Absolutely, Tom. And it's knowing how do you negotiate with the cloud service providers in terms of what does the government need to have, where do we need to have control, where does our control stop? If the cloud service providers ultimately provide the infrastructure, as an example, we need to know then if we can't directly affect the security controls at those underlying layers, then we need to put those into contract terms to make sure that our vendors are doing what they need to do. But we then also are responsible to know where our responsibilities begin, because those vendors will also tell us we will only manage up to a certain point in the security stack. The rest is up to you.
Sure.
It's easy to not hear that and think, oh, we've outsourced this to X, Y, and Z company. No, we only outsourced one portion of it. The rest we are still accountable for.
It's like the child in the pool. If everybody's watching it, then nobody's watching.
Precisely.
Sure. And what have been some successful strategies for getting people to come into Justice with the types of up-to-date skills that you do need?
So a couple of things. I think one of the benefits I have in being a part of the Department of Justice is the mission that we're involved in. It's really all of the elements of law enforcement, prosecution, and incarceration, and actually post-incarceration U.S. parole. We have a parole commission office that
soup to nuts, you might say.
Full life cycle management, yes. But I think we have, from a government perspective, any prospective new candidate that comes in, they will have the opportunity to see a large organization at play, a complex organization, having to work with different tools. If a candidate were to work for a particular company, chances are that person will be limited to the features and functionality or the products of that one company. Whereas if you come for work for the government at the Department of Justice, you see the full spectrum. So that's one of the key benefits I am able to offer the candidates. And that's why I think a lot of our folks have stuck around as well, notwithstanding the incredibly tight job market, is that we do have a very interesting mission. If nothing else, it's a great resume builder. And at the point when they're ready to go, hopefully we have good a recruitment pipeline in place as well. Then it's a good way for myself to set up these candidates for success for later careers. And in the meantime, they've contributed to the mission as well.
So it's mission and mobility of career.
Yes,
combined.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think one of the key things that I have come to accept is knowing that there is going to be turnover. So as a manager and as a hiring professional, you need to know that the turnover is inevitable. So how does one go about making sure that you recruit the right candidates with the right skill sets that you need at this point in time? You give them the development opportunity, but you also get the value that you need to support your mission, but constantly have a lookout for the pipeline of candidates coming back in behind them, because it's inevitable that they will roll out. I personally like the ability to say, while I've supported these individuals coming into the department, getting great experiences, we were able to launch interesting projects, deliver successes for the department, they leave. I've had stories where I've been able to bring them back. So I think that's a testament to our mission being interesting, important, and value added. So it's not just about the money, but it's about what they do and what makes them feel good at the end of the day.
We're speaking with Melinda Rogers, the Deputy Chief Information Officer at the Justice Department, and we mentioned and touched on cybersecurity a few minutes ago. And if you would, maybe elaborate on the strategies that you have in place now for some of these technology programs, in particular, continuous diagnostics and mitigation, the trusted internet connection. What's going on at Justice in those branches?
Absolutely. At the Department of Justice, we were actually one of the first supporters of DHS's CDM program. It's a procurement program, and actually today it is led by a gentleman who came from the Department of Justice. So it's good to have somebody who came from your department who's now at DHS. Who
There's that mobility for you.
There you go. Exactly. So it works out well. We continue to leverage the CDM program for our cybersecurity needs. When the program was first launched about 6 years ago, the first phase was focused on asset management. DOJ at the time already had a good, robust asset management program in place, but we continued to use the CDM program to help us fill in the gaps where we didn't have full coverage. So we were able to still extract value from CDM from that perspective. We are all in on phase two, which is the identity management portion, still very much underway. We have over 160,000 employees and contractors, and we are heavily counting on this identity management piece of the CDM program to help us establish a good inventory of individuals working at the Department of Justice from a who is accessing your network perspective.
Melinda Rogers, Deputy Chief Information Officer of the Justice Department. We'll be back with more of the interview after this short break, when Rogers goes into more depth on identity management and other security topics. I'm Tom Temin.
At Leidos, we have supported the U.S. Department of Justice for more than 40 years with unwavering commitment. The department takes on the toughest public safety and law enforcement challenges, and they don't take risks when it comes to technology and legal expertise. From enterprise IT modernization and litigation support to strategic communications and cybersecurity, Justice counts on Leidos to deliver innovative solutions. Learn more about our shared mission at Leidos.com/DOJ.
Welcome back to our interview with Justice Department Deputy CIO Melinda Rogers. In this segment, Rogers discusses more about identity management and maintaining proper access to data.
The first step is actually eliminating the expiration of passwords as step one, but we're definitely on two-factor authentication using the PIV as the form factor for authenticating an individual. With a department like Justice, we do have individuals that are detailed from one agency, one sub-agency to the next. For example, we do have individuals from U.S. Attorney's Office being detailed over to our Office of the Deputy Attorney General and vice versa. So there's a lot of intra-organization movement. And instead of creating a new identity, digital identity, each time a person moves, what we want to do is to be able to follow that one person across that person's path so that at any one point in time, we'll know what this person has access to and be able to turn that on and off as appropriate.
I was going to say that must be an ongoing concern for Justice because you may have someone in an attorney's office and they might say, well, geez, I need to see some FBI data. Or maybe vice versa. Sometimes that's appropriate, sometimes it isn't. And so you have to manage that on a fairly fine-grained level. Sounds like that's a good place for automation.
Absolutely. And that's where the leveraging the CDM program and the identity management services is helping us get that foundational element underway. So today it's a blend between manual overseeing this process versus some automation, but we ultimately need to get to the point where we can automate the full life cycle of onboarding a person and offboarding a person. And it could be somewhere in between where this person may not be fully offboarded in terms of leaving the agency, but this person has left that office. To your point, it comes back to the information management of, do you have a need to know this information? Even if it's unclassified information, do you have a need to know? And we need a way to automate that management.
Sure. So are the tools out there, do you find? Does the capability exist for that, that you can adopt over time?
Absolutely. So actually, it's a compilation of a couple of different services that we've put together in working with our component customers. And when I say component off customers, U.S. attorneys is a big constituent. Obviously, ATF, DEA, and others are also part of this program. We do work very closely with these sub-agencies to make sure that the solutions we pursue can be integrated into their mission environment so that ultimately we have hopefully a one standardized way of onboarding and offboarding individuals and tracking the comings and goings. In an organization our size, it's hard to get to one, but to the degree that we can eliminate 10 different flavors of the same thing and get down to a few or one, that's ideal. And especially for something so foundational like knowing who's accessing your network, you don't want five different ways to measure that. You want one way to measure that.
And let's discuss the FITARA environment, because the Justice Department has some big subcomponent agencies, particularly the FBI,
yes,
but some others that operate autonomously in a sense, and yet, and they have CIOs and they,
yes,
have IT budgets,
yes,
and yet you have the FITARA Act and you also have earlier laws which invest in the departmental level CIO,
yes,
some of these authorities. How do you work all that?
Gosh, it's a balancing act for sure. I think ultimately there's the Clinger-Cohen, right, going way back, and then there's the FITARA of late. But I think ultimately at Justice, what we try to do is leverage the community of interest, the CIO Council, where all the component CIOs come together at least once a month. We always meet on the first Tuesday of every month, and we go through a series of issues, whether it's procurement-related, whether it's implementation-related, whether it's new technology-related. We cover the full spectrum. I think to the degree that we stay in close communication and understanding with these component offices, understanding their mission needs, that helps us with the implementation and effectiveness of FITARA. It can't just be a one-way push from the department down to the offices. If the component offices do not buy in to what you are trying to preach, then we're not going to be effective.
So they have their ways of resisting.
Yes, very, and they can be incredibly effective. So I think getting that engagement, getting that buy-in, and I think that's where it comes back to where we at the department level need to understand these component offices, their missions, understand what those requirements are so that we can deliver value and provide services to them that they want so that when it comes time to soliciting and engaging their support for FATARA, we will have that buy-in. It has to be a two-way street.
And how would you say justice is with respect to modernizing legacy applications? So many agencies, departments your size have these, it may not be COBOL, but it might have been programmed 15, 20 years ago, or maybe you have a lot of COBOL.
Right. I think it starts with knowing what you have in your environment. And at the Department of Justice, we have an application called CCM, short for Cybersecurity Assessment and Management Tool. Originally, that tool is intended and still is being used for tracking FISMA reportable systems, knowing what you have in your environment, one of the basic tenets of cybersecurity. And we use that to actually provide a lot more context and information on what exactly is there. And through that,
it can lead to other knowledges.
Exactly. So, for example, the 853 security controls are all embedded in the CCM application. So from there, we'll be able to see, do you have security controls that measure whether you have out-of-support systems? And if you fail that security control, then clearly you have legacy applications or software that needs to be upgraded or hardware that needs to be upgraded. And so through that application, we are able to gain insight across the entire department, across all these different mission offices. It is large and unwieldy, but it gives us a way to prioritize where we have the most risk, vulnerabilities, and focus our efforts and try to go through it that way.
We're speaking with Melinda Rogers, the Deputy Chief Information Officer of the Justice Department. And where are you in the journey toward data center consolidation and its first cousin, cloud migration?
Yes, Tom. We're actually doing very well. GAO recently released a report that DOJ was one of six total agencies that demonstrated success in optimizing data center consolidation efforts. So I think that's certainly a win for us, and we couldn't do it without our component offices supporting us in that endeavor. Certainly, this is not a department central function. We could not have accomplished this without the likes of Civil Division, BOP, and U.S. Attorneys supporting us in this effort. And of course, FBI as a major host and provider of our key data center, and also DEA. To date, we've closed 84 out of our 110 data centers, and we avoided $136 million as of the end of FY18.
Was that the level required by the Office of Management and Budget?
This was a self-imposed target, and that we've always set a goal for ourselves, and we try to exceed it. Because ultimately, it's not a one-size-fits-all in terms of savings and whatnot, but what makes the most sense for that agency. At this point, our goal is still down to three core data enterprise facilities. Our goal was 3 by 19. I think we still got a little ways to go, but considering that we have about 20 or so to go, we've done very well. It's been a very aggressive effort, and there have been a few pains along the way, but I'd like to think that overall it's been a success story for us.
Melinda Rogers, Deputy Chief Information Officer of the Justice Department. We'll be back with more of the interview after this short break when Rogers details Justice's cloud computing progress. I'm Tom Temin.
At Leidos, we have supported the U.S. Department of Justice for more than 40 years with unwavering commitment. The department takes on the toughest public safety and law enforcement challenges, and they don't take risks when it comes to technology and legal expertise. From enterprise IT modernization and litigation support to strategic communications and cybersecurity, Justice counts on Leidos to deliver innovative solutions. Learn more about our shared mission at Leidos.com/DOJ.
Welcome back to our interview with Justice Department Deputy CIO Melinda Rogers. In this segment, Rogers provides an update on the department's cloud computing strategy.
So with cloud, we have been working very aggressively with the usual suspects, the major players like Amazon, like Microsoft and IBM and a couple of others. And ultimately, it's going to come down to what makes the most sense for the Department of Justice, whether we use these different providers for infrastructure, for software as a service. And that is still very much evolving. But that's a journey that we're continuing to fine tune. I think with the cloud service providers, one of the things we try to be mindful of is it's not just, as I mentioned earlier, it's not just about outsourcing the workload to these providers. They manage up to a certain point, and then we as a customer are responsible for the rest of the way. And how do we make sure that we are able to be fully accountable for the full stack of security, even if we're not hands-on those dials making those changes? We're still accountable for when there's a failure. So then how do we address those through the contract terms?
And this all must be a forcing function on the earlier point, which is modernizing applications.
Yes, absolutely. I think once the initial pain of the move might be substantial, but once we're there, I think it then allows us to look at our workloads differently, allow the cloud service providers who do this best to make sure that the applications and the software and hardware elements are kept current so that we can focus on the mission operation side, the business side, to make sure that we're always providing our constituents who are the law enforcement officers on the front line, the attorneys who are doing the prosecution, that they get what they need.
Now, one of the president's management agenda initiatives is the deployment of digital services. And you can easily imagine how that works in agencies, say, like Treasury or Agriculture or Interior, where they have functions that directly affect the visiting public, citizens, you know, at the individual level, even IRS. Justice doesn't come to mind quite as something that would interact with the public on what you might call a retail basis. So what does the PMA issue on digital services mean to Justice, and what are you doing there?
Tom, I think you hit the nail on the head. While we're not one of the ones that immediately come to mind when it comes to retail services for the public, we do have engagement with the public in a couple of different ways. Today, we have over 70 top-level public domains, including the National Sex Offender public website, the Bureau of Prisons Inmate Locator, and the Freedom of Information Act request portal. The National Sex Offender public website offers visitors two resources to perform sex offender searches. And we have a way to do the sex offender search and a consolidated tool that links the users to the public registry website. All right. We have the FOIA portal, which allows citizens to request information under the Freedom of Information Act.
And, of course, Justice is kind of the owner of the FOIA process government-wide
in
some sense.
Yes, we are. And actually, Justice we have done well in being the shared service provider for a lot of these across federal agency services. Like the CCM example I mentioned earlier, we have 23 other agencies using that. The FOIA portal is another example. We've done well in providing shared services, and we actually thrive on that in that this is something we have to do along with a lot of our sister agencies. If we can do it once and make good use of taxpayer dollars and allow other federal agencies to reuse it again and again, why not?
And on the Bureau of Prisons side, with a couple of 100,000 people in incarceration in federal prisons, there must be a lot of things that, like you mentioned, the locator and maybe other services for families and external people to interact in the right way with their prisoner.
Absolutely. And that's where you mentioned earlier, you know, while DOJ doesn't come to top of mind in terms of that presence, we are actually very actively engaged with the public. And also there's the Office of Justice Program where we issue grants as well. So we have interaction with.
And you deal with victims, too.
Absolutely. Yes. So our mission is large and complex. And that's where, going back to your earlier point about recruitment, we actually have a very interesting career path for anybody that's interested.
But it's safe to say for those areas like the sex offenders mm-hmm. or the prisoners or the victims programs, those are areas where you plan to do digital services or update how you interact?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's primarily driven by the component offices, less so at the department level, but we're always here to support if they need us to be engaged.
Melinda Rogers is Deputy Chief Information Officer of the Justice Department. To hear this interview again, log on to federalnewsnetwork.com and search Agency in Focus. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Department of Justice Agency in Focus, sponsored by Leidos on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. At Leidos, we have supported the U.S. Department of Justice for more than 40 years with unwavering commitment. The department takes on the toughest public safety and law enforcement challenges, and they don't take risks when it comes to technology and legal expertise. From enterprise IT modernization and litigation support to strategic communications and cybersecurity, Justice counts on Leidos to deliver innovative solutions. Learn more about our shared mission at Leidos.com/DOJ.